3 weeks ago, did a very brief introduction to the book of Proverbs, and we briefly reflected on these words from the opening six verses. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. These are Proverbs that will make you wise. They will help you to learn things and to understand good teaching. They will help you to understand how to live a good life. They will teach you how to live as a person who is good, honest, and fair. They can cause even silly people to become clever. They teach young people what they should know so that they can live well. Wise people should also listen carefully so that they learn something new. And people with clever minds can learn to live in a good way. People will learn to understand what proverbs and picture stories mean. They will understand the teaching and clever messages of wise people. So essentially, this book is about helping us all to live well and right and to live wisely. So in these final two services before Advent, we are delving into this book for advice on good communication and on good relationships. So this morning we're looking at good communication under the theme of our words have the power to be a force of good or to cause hurt. And in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Or the Message version, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. We choose. And that's why we need wisdom, so that we make the right choices. And as I've said, there's so much wisdom in this book about speaking and listening. Wisdom that we really should all take heed of. It can all make a difference to our lives. And let me start with an interesting fact. I say fact, research. Apparently, adults speak at least 7,000 words a day on average. Or some research even says as many as 20,000 words per day. And we're not getting into the fact that women apparently speak more than men. Not going there. But whether it's 7 or whether it's 20,000, that's a lot of words. And that gives us all plenty of opportunity to use words for good or indeed harm. It's no wonder that Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Words are powerful, so we need to be careful how we use them. And words can indeed be used for good or to hurt. So I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And it's not really true, that, is it? At one level, broken bones can typically heal. But words can wound and cause deep-seated, lasting damage. Now, I put a caveat on this morning that I guess that some things that I'm going to say might cause some discomfort in some of us, because we've all probably at some time or another said things that we shouldn't have. And equally, we've probably been on the receiving end of stuff. So I just want to start with a few examples from the book of Proverbs of things that we shouldn't do so as to avoid causing hurt or upset to other people. So with these things, the Bible is simply saying, don't. So the first thing is, avoid gossip. Proverbs 20 says, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. Proverbs 18 says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. To some, and perhaps many, gossip can be fun and interesting, can't it? But when we feed on gossip, we'll always crave more. As the story goes, where one person was gossiping to a friend about someone at church. And the friend asked a question, trying to extract more juicy details. And the gossiper replied, "I've already told you more than I know." We crave more, and so we don't care about the truth. As one writer put it, the more interesting it is, the more likely it is to be false. The second one is avoid angry words, covered beautifully in this simple statement from Proverbs 29. An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Don't need to add anything. The third one, avoid lying. In Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 18, it says there are 66 things the Lord hates, and one of them is a lying tongue. And in Proverbs 12, 19, it says, truthful lips endure forever. Avoid flattery. I'm sure most of us have secretly enjoyed a bit of flattery. But Proverbs 29:5 warns us to be on our guard against those who sweet talk us. As the Message puts it, a flattering neighbour is up to no good. He's probably trying to take advantage of you. The truths that are there for thousands of years. And finally of this set, avoid impulsive speech. Proverbs 29 says, do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than them. Again, I'm sure that most of us at some time have spoken without thinking and put our foot in it. And those are just five things that the Bible tells us we need to work on to avoid causing hurt or upset to others. And I'll come back to some of those a little bit later. But before that, just a slight digression about the power of the way that Proverbs is actually written. And with that power comes a lot more wisdom. If you read Proverbs, what you'll notice is how the writer actually uses imagery or picture stories to get the message across. So, for example, in Proverbs 10 verse 11, it says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. And what that means is that when we listen to people talking wise words, it is actually like drinking cool water on a hot day. Because it's not, those words are not only welcome to us, but they are vital for our well-being. In Proverbs 12 verse 18, it says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. So unkind words can literally pierce like a sword, can't they? Penetrating deeply into our inner being, causing long-term hurt. But particularly kind words can stay with us forever. And I'm sure you can all think of examples. I hope you can all think of examples where somebody at some time has said exactly the right words in the right way, just when you needed them. And you've treasured that for years. But equally, you can probably remember when you were hurt by someone's words and you still remember them years after they were said. It's this danger of reckless words versus the power of healing words. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. In ancient Israel, honey was both a luxury and a medicine. So this is saying that when we talk kindly and gently, our words become both priceless and provide healing. Proverbs 16:27, a scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips it is like a scorching fire. Things that people say, rumours, can quickly spread, can't they? Just like a fire, it's unstoppable. Words can't be unsaid. Once they're out there, they're out there. We need to be careful not to light the fire. And my final example from Proverbs 25. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a ruling rightly given. Like an earring of gold, an ornament of fine gold, is the rebuke of a wise judge to a listening ear. The value of appropriate, balanced words of wisdom are to be treasured, both by the speaker, but most importantly by the speaker, by the person listening. So those are some examples in Proverbs of wisdom through imagery for those people who like the visual. But there's loads more wisdom stacked throughout this book. Practical advice. And I'm going to call them the biblical do's and don'ts of communication. Now I'm going to go against the Baptist tradition here of every sermon has 3 points. Because I'm going to do 10. No worries. 10 biblical do's and don'ts. 10 pieces of wisdom that I'm sure we could all heed from time to time. Let me give you the guiding principle, first of all, which I'm taken from Proverbs 21, verse 23, which says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Or again, the message, which is much more forthright, watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. So buckle up. 10 do's and don'ts. The first one. Think before you speak. Not the other way around. From a northern colloquialism, that would be engage brain, then mouth. Hit the pause button. Proverbs 15 says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. You can't unsay what is said. There is no delete button. So we have to think before we speak. And then, of course, there's the danger of speaking when we're emotional. As the famous quote goes, speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. Your wise mum probably told you more than once, just count to 10 before replying. But what your mum didn't perhaps explain fully was, that doesn't mean count to 10 and say exactly what you were going to say 10 seconds ago. It means take the 10 seconds to pause, breathe, and think before you speak. My second one. Talk less. Abraham Lincoln was quoted as saying, it is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And Proverbs covers the same points. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Proverbs 17 adds to the wisdom. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Proverbs 13. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. You know, perhaps it's a message for us all that when we feel inclined to say something, we should ask ourselves, will this help this person or will this help this situation? You know, for example, we might have an opinion on something or we might be inclined to say, I told you so, or we might be tempted to judge somebody. If it won't help, then perhaps we should just zip it. As Ecclesiastes so clearly puts it, there is a time to be silent. And a time to speak. Number 3, listen better. We've talked before many times and you've all heard the cliche, if you like, that we've been given 2 ears and 1 mouth, therefore we should listen twice as much as we talk. What does Proverbs say? Well, Proverbs 15 says, listen to good advice if you want to live well. And then Proverbs 18 says, to answer before listening. That is folly and shame. One of the things I used to talk about when I used to work for a living or get paid work for a living, was advising people about listen to understand rather than listen to respond. There's so many examples of situations where people are listening in a conversation and all they're doing is waiting for the speaker to pause, and as soon as they pause, they're in there with my view on life. That's not what this means. This means listen to understand the other person. Listen properly and put your own things to one side for a while. Remember that wise owl from 3 weeks ago? A wise old owl sat on an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why aren't we like that wise old bird? And as Proverbs 19 puts it, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. And that, of course, is not just advice from God, which is, of course, the best advice that we can get. But sometimes God speaks through other people, and we should listen to that advice. Essentially, we can only become better people when we listen and heed good advice. My fourth one, encourage others. There are so many examples in the Bible that urge us to encourage each other. If, for example, in 1 Thessalonians, it says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. We all need encouragement from time to time. So we should all therefore look for opportunities to do exactly that. Proverbs 15 says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life. It grows, it helps people grow and flourish. And my question to you, how encouraging have you been this week? It's a rhetorical question. And here's maybe a challenging thought. How do you know if you're a good encourager? Well, one way you can tell is if people like being around you. If when you walk into a room, people are pleased to see you. Could be mayhem in coffee. We've got some fabulous encouragers here. And if you think about those encouragers, you're delighted to see them because you know it's probably going to be a good conversation. That's what we should be doing. Speak gently. You know, when people are angry, others respond in anger, don't they? Shouting meets shouting. One person shouts, I'm not shouting, you're shouting. Well, I'm not shouting. So how best to eliminate, or at least dilute anger from the conversations? Be calm, speak gently, not loudly or harshly. And Proverb puts it beautifully. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And as one writer wisely put it, keep your words soft and sweet. You never know when you may have to eat them. Be more forgiving, show grace. Most of us are way too tough on others. We expect too much, although we expect others to be forgiving towards us. Proverbs 19 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offence. Do we really need to point out what was wrong? Do we need to criticise? Do we need to make a point? Or using the words from that famous song in Frozen, should we just let it go? Avoid gossip. I've talked about gossip, and as I said, the Bible in essence says, don't. Walk away. Tell people you're not interested. Proverbs 17 says, a wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. gossiping about others is to be avoided, no matter how much fun it might be or how cathartic it may appear to be at the time. Tell the truth. Always tell the truth. And I know that's hard in many situations, but that's what we're required to do. As Proverb 12 says, an honest witness tells the truth, a false witness tells lies. But people value people who are honest and speak the truth. And so in Proverbs 16 it says, kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. But this isn't a license to say anything. Sometimes truths are difficult truths for the other person to hear. So we caveat telling the truth with making sure that we always, always do it gently and with the goal to encourage people. Encouragingly, we've got to number 9 quicker than you thought we would. Don't boast. It's not an attractive characteristic, is it? Boasting, bragging. Proverbs 27 makes it very clear. Let someone else praise you. Not your own mouth, an outsider, and not your own lips. As the saying goes, when you sing your own praises, you always sing out of tune. You know, what we do for God, not to have our name up, or shouldn't be to have our name up in lies. It shouldn't be about being feted and praised for all that we do. If people do praise us, so be it. But that shouldn't be our objective. God knows who we are and what we've done. That's all that should matter. And finally, don't quarrel. And quarrel is a heated argument. So it's at another level just to a normal argument. Proverbs 17 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. It's a fairly obvious point. We'd all have a lot more peace in families, communities, the world, wouldn't we, if people would choose not to quarrel. And much of what we quarrel about is not really that important anyway, is it? God values harmony far more than conflict. So we should all try to drop the matter. Let it go. As Proverbs 20 verse 3 says, it is to one's honour to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. So there you have wise words to live by. Think before you speak, talk less, listen better, encourage others, speak gently, be more forgiving, avoid gossip, tell the truth, don't boast, don't quarrel. In a secular environment, you would probably look at that list and say, common sense, Peter. But as the saying goes, common sense is not always common practice. But common sense, living by common sense, is one of the ways that we can become wise. And I go back again to chapter 1, verse 2. These are proverbs that will make you wise. So what's the opposite of wise? Foolish. So in applying these biblical do's and don'ts, and they're not just common sense, they are biblical do's and don'ts, that will help us be wise. Not applying those biblical do's and don'ts makes us foolish. Fortunately, chapter 1 verse 4 says, these proverbs can cause even silly people to become clever. So there is hope for us. In chapter 1 verse 3, it said, they will help you to understand how to live a good life. They will teach you how to live as a person who is good, honest, and fair. Won't our relationships be better, stronger, if we apply this wisdom, if we apply those 10 do's and don'ts? Wouldn't the world be a better place if everybody applied the 10 do's and don'ts? Don't we want a world full of people who are good, honest and fair? Let me finish with this question. When you look at that list, which of those 10 would Jesus do? Or more specifically, which of those 10 did Jesus do? And don't we believe that we should all be a little bit more like Jesus in the way that we live our lives, including how we speak and how we listen?